Well, this evening we are turning to Deuteronomy chapter 32. Deuteronomy chapter 32. Last week in our chapter in Revelation, we had lots of connections between Revelation 15 and the Song of Moses. You remember you had people, the redeemed, standing by the sea of glass, singing the song of Moses, the servant of the Lord, and the song of the Lamb. Well, that's not this song of Moses. That was the song from Exodus 15 at the shore of the Red Sea. That was a song of victory. I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously, the horse and rider thrown into the sea. Here in Deuteronomy 32, we get another song of Moses. This one comes right near the end of his ministry. He's kind of reiterating the law to the people of Israel. And he leaves them with this other hymn in praise of God. And it's a song that focuses on God's care for his people. It, in some ways, runs through the early history of Israel. Before we get to the section we're going to focus on, which is really the beginning, I want us to just kind of leap through this song a little bit. It's fairly long. If you flip the page, we get kind of introduction. I don't know if you're flipping pages. I'm flipping pages. We're going to be looking at the first couple of verses, and then if you jump over to verse 10, you see there this picture of God discovering and saving Israel. He found him in a desert land, and in the howling waste of the wilderness, he encircled him, he cared for him, he kept him as the apple of his eye. You see God claiming, saving, and preserving Israel. He provided for Israel in the desert. Now we're going to see that this is a hymn that particularly praises the justice of God. And you might expect that as the hymn goes on, you would start to see God's justice directed at all of Israel's enemies. I think that's what you would kind of expect from a hymn about God's justice being taught to the people of Israel. But the striking thing is that in this hymn, God's justice is over and over directed at his own people. This is a hymn that particularly moves on to talk about their unfaithfulness with the golden calf. That comes up in verse 17 and 18. Verse 18, you were unmindful of the rock that bore you, and you forgot the God who gave you birth. As it continues to look at the people following after idols. And over, Moses is telling the people, God is just. He will punish your sin of running after other idols. If you look at the end of this, we see God maintaining his justice and his power. Verse 39, see now that I, even I, am he, and there is no God beside me. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal. And there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I mean, that's pretty encouraging in some ways, except that it's been a hymn about the justice of God and the failures of his people. Look at verse 43. Rejoice with him, O heavens. Bow down to him, all gods, for he avenges the blood of his children and takes vengeance on his adversaries. He repays those who hate him and cleanses his people's land. Well, there's his justice directed to the enemies of his people as well. And then look at verse 44. Here we come to the very end of this hymn. Moses came and recited all the words of this song in the hearing of the people, he and Joshua the son of Nun. And when Moses had finished speaking all these words to all Israel, he said to them, "Take to heart all the words by which I am warning you today, that you may command them to your children, that they may be careful to do all the words of this law. For it is no empty word for you, but your very life. By this word you shall live long in the land that you are going over the Jordan to possess." Moses sees this hymn about the justice of God. In some ways, a kind of terrifying hymn. He sees that hymn to be kind of the capstone of the law. He sees it to be something that people should tell to their children. Tell them about the justice of God. Because this word is their life. God's justice and his judgment are an encouragement and a challenge to his people. Now, I said we're going to look at just a portion of this. I'd encourage you, maybe well beneficial to read over the whole of this wonderful song. But we're going to be looking at the first four verses, particularly the sort of poetic introduction to this hymn. And what I want us to see is that God's justice is life and peace for us. We're called to delight in his justice. Well, let's pray, and then we'll focus in on those first couple of verses. Lord God, would you be with us today? We thank you for being a God who is just. We pray that you would help us not to shy away from your justice, or to think that really we should just be talking about your mercy and your grace. Lord, help us to see your justice and rejoice in it. Lord, we thank you for being a God who is the ever-faithful rock. Would you be with us this evening? In Jesus' name, amen. Well, look at those first four verses. "Give ear, O heavens, and I will speak. And let the earth hear the words of my mouth. May my teaching drop as the rain, my speech distill as the dew, like gentle rain upon the tender grass, and like showers upon the herb. For I will proclaim the name of the Lord, ascribe greatness to our God. The rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are justice. A God of faithfulness and without iniquity, just and upright is he." I want us to recognize is that God's justice is life and peace for his people. I mean, you see how this song of Moses begins. He's calling on the heavens and the earth to hear his words. He's saying his teaching, and remember, this is his teaching on the justice of God, is like a gentle rain upon the tender grass. We look around right now, it's very dry. We haven't had a lot of rain lately. And it seems kind of like when we have gotten rain, it often comes as just a rushing downpour. But the picture here is a gentle rain on a warm day. One that's just soaking the grass, soaking the dry ground. It's a wonderful thing for us here in the place where we live. And then we remember that they lived in such a dry climate. That idea of a gentle rain is life. It's life-giving for them. What Moses is speaking of as he speaks of the life-giving nature of God, we would expect him to say, I'm talking here about God's mercy. We would expect him to say, you know, what is like a gentle rain? Well, it's the declaration of God's grace. It says, for I will proclaim the name of the Lord, ascribe greatness to our God. He is just and upright. The rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are justice. That's Moses' theme. Just and upright is he. And Moses seems to view that as a theme that should comfort us. Now, how does God's justice do that? How is God's justice life and peace? Well, I think one way that it was life and peace, especially for the people Moses is speaking to, is that it warns the people. I mean, remember in verse 47, near the end of this, he was saying, teach this to your children. Remind them of the justice of God. Remember that he's just, and so flee from sin and keep his law. Don't sin, because God is just and he hates sin. He will judge it. So keep his law. And as you keep his law, then you'll have peace in the land he has given you. We can look back at the people of Israel and see that kind of pattern. If you keep my law, you will stay in the land. If you fail to do so, you will be cast out of the land. There did seem to be more of a transactional kind of system there. So Moses can point to the justice of God and say, remember that, take it as a warning, hold to God's law, and so you will stay in the land. Now, does this apply to us? Does it apply to Christians? Are we supposed to be intimidated by the justice of God? Keep God's law and you'll stay in the family of God. Break God's law and you'll be cast out. No, that's not the threat that we have as Christians. If you're someone who's put your trust in Jesus, you've been made righteous by the blood of Jesus. So should God's justice be an encouragement to you? Should it be a warning to you as a Christian not to sin? I think we'd say yes. It should be a warning to us not to sin. Praise God that you will not feel the wrath of God for your sin. But we recognize that every sin we commit will be punished. It's not that you become a Christian and then, well, your sins just don't count anymore. Our sins are borne by our Savior. And if you don't care about that, then that kind of careless sin is an indication of a heart that doesn't really love God. God is just. Your sin will be punished. So keep from sinning. God's justice is still a warning to us. It's a call to us to refrain from sin. I think that's one way that we can look to God's justice and say it was a life to the people of Israel, kept them from sin as they dwelt on justice. And in many ways, God's justice should keep us from sin as well. But God's justice is also a comfort to us as we live in an unjust world. We talked a good deal this morning about how our hearts long for justice. We can be bowed down by the injustices in the world around us. Sometimes it's a struggle to read the news. Sometimes I'm not sure it's worth it, right? To see all of the injustices and feel like, well, what can we do about this? Over the last couple of months, I've been receiving the free magazine from the Voice of the Martyrs, organization that works with persecuted Christians. And that magazine, you know, I flip through and see pictures of people who've been persecuted. It's a very uplifting, you know, bright colors, you know, it's intended to be uplifting. It's generally talking about people who are continuing to serve in the face of persecution. On the one hand, it's wonderful and encouraging. And on the other hand, every month there's another batch of, here are more Christians being persecuted in some other portion of the world. There's so much suffering. What do you do with all of that injustice? You just ignore it? Say, let's make sure I don't get that magazine anymore, you know? Do we just get, you know, jaded and frustrated and you look at the news and just, okay, whatever. It just kind of rolls past you, all of the injustice in the world. No, we're called to look at passages like this one and say, God is just. And friends, that truth gives a stability to our lives. We don't just get overwhelmed by suffering. Look at it and say, the judge of all the earth will do what is just. He will do what is right. Friends, there is life and peace in that conviction. If you are able to do away with the justice of God, would you want to do that? Sometimes when we just think about our own sins, we think, wouldn't it be, you know, nice if God's justice, you know, just made an exception for me. And friends, that's not what the gospel is at all. God's justice makes no exceptions at all. God doesn't just look at you and say, well, okay, you're an okay person. We'll skip over this one. Forget about it. Doesn't matter. That's not the kind of God our God is. No, he satisfied his justice through the work of Jesus. And we rejoice that God continues to be just. His justice is a foundation for our lives. Genesis 18, Abraham met with angels as they were on their way to judge Sodom and Gomorrah. And you remember, he was kind of disturbed by the judgment that was coming there because he knew the angels were going to destroy those cities, and he knew that his nephew Lot was in one of them. And so remember, Abraham tries to sort of negotiate. And in many ways, it's a wonderful picture of his his heart of concern for the people facing destruction. Remember, he'd say, if there are 100 righteous people, you wouldn't do this, right? If there are 50, if there are 10 righteous people, would you do this? And in the midst of all of that negotiation, he asks the rhetorical question, will not the judge of all the earth do right? God's answer to that question is yes. The judge of all the earth will do what is right. Let that answer comfort you. When you struggle with injustice in the world, let it comfort you when you have questions about loved ones who are far from the Lord. What's going to happen with them? Let it comfort you when you wonder, how can I endure this difficult thing? Let it comfort you when you're confounded even by your own sin. We can say the judge of all the earth will do what's right. Rest in this rock. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you that you are the just God. And we thank you that your justice can be a comfort to us. At one time, it was a terror. But because of our Savior, your justice is a comfort to your people. Lord, would you help us to recognize that you will do what is right? We can trust you. You are the faithful God who does not change like shifting shadows. We thank you for being a faithful and a just God. We praise you in Jesus' name.